Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 61 for July 22nd, 2008. Amber Mac and Cheese. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by Visa. We all have things we like to think about. Online fraud shouldn't be one of them. Because with every purchase, Visa prevents, detects, and resolves online fraud. Safe, secure, Visa. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. From Northern California, I am Leo Laporte.
And from Montreal, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
She's in Montreal. Hello, everybody. It's time for Net at Night. Now, I noticed, Amber, you say Montreal.
Yes, I do.
Is that the official way of saying it, is Montreal?
Montreal, yeah, I think so. I think it's about as official if you're speaking English.
Yeah, because I noticed the Anglophone Canadians say Montreal. French, of course, say Montréal. And Americans say Montreal.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I haven't really thought about it too much, but yeah, I usually say Montreal. I don't know. It's a good question. And speaking of Montreal, because it is in the province of Quebec, someone wrote me recently and they wanted to know the history of your family from Quebec.
Oh, yeah, I'm from Quebec.
What part are they from? Do you know?
Well, if you go, there's a website I can send you to. It is Net at Night, so this ties in very nicely. The Laporte de Saint-Georges, let me see if I can find it, website tells about the whole family tree. We all descended from this woman named Laporte, who came to Montreal in, I think, 1623, something like that.
Okay.
And there's a whole website let me see if I can find it. My father comes up to Montreal fairly frequently for these family reunions.
Cool. It's a really great city.
Oh, I've only been there once for a conference. It was about 2 days. I was speaking in an event up there, but I just loved it. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, it's really, my brother went to McGill, so I spent a fair bit of time here when I was younger, coming to visit him at university, and had a great time. I don't know the city that well, but hopefully tonight, after Net at Night, I'm going to tour around a little bit.
Are you going to get around? So it's the World the World Association. talk about grandiose. The World Association of Laporte de Saint-Georges website, and that is our family motto. Ad posse ad esse. I have no, something like push me and I'll push you back. And it's, there's the family crest. And there's the whole story of it. But this is at genealogie, you know, the French spelling, genealogie.org/famille/Laporte. And
nice.
Yeah, this is, do you have something like that for the MacArthurs?
Yes, from Scotland. Actually, there's a long history of the MacArthurs. There's even a MacArthur Castle in Scotland, which my dad brought us to many years ago in the midst of winter, which is always a great time to go to Scotland.
Yes, it's pouring rain. So
I know.
This is the story. This is Jacques de Laporte de Saint-Georges, born in March 1627 in France. And then he came to Montreal in 1653, and we all are descended from this same pathetic loser.
Oh,
that's
Leo,
the story.
Did he have saggy bum?
He had saggy bum. That's why his descendants have to sit on a exercise ball all their natural lives.
Yes, just for people who don't know what I'm talking about. Before the show, Leo was sitting on a ball bouncing around saying, my trainer or someone had told you you're getting saggy bum, so you need to get back on the ball.
Yes, he's looking for any excuse to get me back on the ball. He says it's a good thing. Now, I don't know if it really is, but I could tell you, I think there is a result. I think my core strength and my legs are much stronger. So no guests.
It keeps your energy.
It keeps your energy up while you're talking. No guests this week. We have been working on the folks from Jib Jab, and I think they'll be joining us next week. So I'm excited about that.
Yes. Yes. Thanks to Dane. He's trying to hook us up with them, and I'm super excited about that as
well. That would be a lot of fun. We're always trying to find guests. If you know somebody who is ensconced in Web 2.0 that you'd like to see on the show, please drop us a line or mention it in chat or Twitter us. Amber is Amber MacArthur on Twitter. I'm Leo Laporte on Twitter. We both use our full names. And make a suggestion, and we'll work on it. We'll find them. I want to get Leia Culver on from Pounce at some point.
Oh, that's a good idea. I actually had, I was at a dinner with her, I guess a couple of months ago in Toronto, I guess after Mesh.
Oh, neat.
And had a chance to meet her there. So that would be lots of fun to get her on. And you know who else would be great? I met Natalie Del Conte in New York last week, and it would be fun to get her on as well and just talk about some of her work on Loaded at CNET.
That would be really fun. I'd love to do both.
Yeah.
There aren't that, you know, particularly in development inside, there aren't that many women in tech. And Leia is a really, it's a neat story. I mean, she just created Pounce all by herself, thought the whole thing up. Dania Burka, your friend Silver Orange, Wild Orange, Orange?
Silver Orange.
Silver Orange.
Silver Orange, yeah.
And PEI helped do the web design. And then, of course, Kevin Rose is part of the team now. But it really is Leia's idea. And so I'd really love to talk to her about that. And it's kind of ties in because we're going to get the guys from Django on Floss Weekly. That's the web framework, the kind of Ruby on Rails style framework that that she used to build Pounce.
Very cool. Yeah, we should get her on. I'll drop her an email, Leo, unless you've been talking to her.
I don't know her. And she'll probably think I'm just some weirdo creepo. So it's probably good that you do that.
Yeah, I've been spreading that rumor online, actually.
But
if Leo Laporte emails you.
Fantastic glutes, though. I want everybody to know that. So let's. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, I cannot comment.
Yeah. Have you been playing with a new iPhone 2.0? Have you put that on your iPhone yet?
No, I haven't actually, but my brother did buy the new iPhone in Prince Edward Island, and so you know he likes it. I think it crashed a few times, and you know he's been swearing now and again. But overall, I think he's pretty happy with it.
It's crashed a lot for me, and in fact, I've just finally did after about 2 weeks of crashing. I finally did what they recommend, which is a full restore, and it does seem a little bit more reliable now. But I have to say, I think it's the applications that crash it. I think. For one thing, we're all installing a whole bunch of new applications on here. And that's part of the fun of it is these amazing applications. There are a lot of web-based applications. There are several Twitter clients. My current favorite is Twinkle, which, by the way, is crashy. There was a Twitterific. Twinkle is kind of fun because it's a regular Twitter client, but it does something different. It will also show you posts from people who are within a geographic area of you. And you set that. It could be 1 mile, 2 miles, 5 miles, 25, 50. So if I set it for 50, then I see all the posts from everybody in the San Francisco Bay Area. If I set it for just, say, 2 or 5, it's the people in my town. If I set it, so I can see, or I get the wine country. If I make it 25, I get the wine country in Marin. And it's kind of fun because then you could see who else is around. I'm thinking at Podcast Expo in a couple of weeks, this will be really fun. If a lot
but
of people,
Leo, I'll be beside you the whole time. So.
Oh, that's true. So I won't need to use this. Will you?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Will you?
Yes, of course. Of course.
Goody. We're going to be doing the show down there. Twit Live down there. I'm bringing the cameras, the lights, the TriCaster. You can see our whole setup. It's very portable, so we're going to take it down. Colleen's driving it down in a van the night before. We'll be doing Thursday and Friday at the New Media Expo from the convention center, from the Stickam booth in the back of the hall. And so come back to the back of the hall, and Amber and I, and a variety, and I think it'll be fun, Amber, because what we'll do is we'll just get everybody, one by one, we'll go through all the interesting people who are there.
That would be awesome. So do you have a list of who's coming? I read online in terms of some of the people, I think like Zadie Diaz, for example, obviously Jonathan Colton's going to be there doing a concert. But anyone like as far as other twits?
I don't know about other twits. That's a good question. Who in particular would you like to have be there?
I can just snap my fingers and they'll be there.
I will see to it that they are there. I don't know who else is coming from the Twit crew, but pretty much every podcaster goes. This is the event of the year.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be lots of fun. Are you flying down then on the Wednesday night?
Yeah, I'll come down Wednesday night. Just, right after the show's on Wednesday, I'll probably be able to get down there by 4 or 5. Let's have dinner. And then Thursday we'll set up and we'll do the shows.
That sounds like lots of fun.
I'm excited.
Lots
I'm really excited.
Fun. I know.
And we will get Joko. We'll definitely get Jonathan Colton on and he'll play some for us. And that'll be really fun.
Oh, that will be great. Yeah. Cool. Well, Leo, we have lots of links this week.
Let's get to the news.
Yes, get to the news. Now, the first link is about Facebook. Because I'm sure as everybody heard, Facebook has been doing some tweaks to their site. You can find that at new.facebook.com. And I actually had a chance to kind of dive in and look at it. And I think TechCrunch is bang on as far as the review of this and say that some of their changes are more like friend feed in the sense that they've really pushed on the feed of information that's coming across through Facebook and given it a lot of prominence on the page. Instead of three columns, the layout is now two columns. So a big portion of that page is devoted to your feeds as soon as you log in. As well as different features for your profile.
It does look a lot like Facebook. They got rid of that ad bar on the left. Kind of glad about that.
Yeah, it seems they pushed it over to the right. And as you can see, where you go to edit your profile, they've added things so you can actually add a profile video and a few other different features. But yeah, it looks a lot like friend feed. And it's funny to kind of see it go that direction. But I found myself just going on there. I mean, I've ignored some of the information that comes across on Facebook because I find the page just overall just way too cluttered. And since they've done the redesign and I've just sort of checked in on new.facebook.com, I find the information, the layout is much, much better to just kind of scan and get a sense of what's going on the site.
Oh, this is great. And then it takes all the applications and puts them in a tab called boxes, so they're really out of the way.
Exactly. So it's a pretty good job. I mean, I don't know about you. I haven't been using Facebook as much. I think, you know, especially I don't know about you, but I still have that 5,000 person friend cap. And I haven't been using it in the sense that I'm on Twitter more often now. But I think with the redesign, I might be tempted to just sort of log in more and pay more attention to the feeds coming through.
Yeah, I have to say this is much more appealing. And they'd be smart to go after FriendFeed. I mean, FriendFeed is what, you know, FriendFeed isn't as huge by any means as Facebook or even as Twitter, but it is kind of now what the digerati have started to use. And that usually indicates that, you know, people are going to start to flock there.
Exactly.
It works really well. I mean, Facebook is a great little community. So this is pretty cool. I have to say, it's the first time I've seen it. I've heard people talking about it. I like it.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people thinking, I thought the same thing as soon as I heard about Facebook tweaks. I thought I was going to log into my account and see them right away. So just again, for people who want to try it out, all you have to do is log into your account and then go to new.facebook.com. And then you can see your entire account displayed in the new redesigned version of Facebook. So that's the way you can kind of have a better sense of what it looks like. Because I kept reading all these reviews and I'd log into my account and I'd be thinking, oh my gosh, why is my account not updated?
Right. But, Me too. I thought, I guess it's a very subtle change. I couldn't figure it out.
I know. That's what I thought as well. Or I thought I just wasn't included because it was some, you know, special list of people. And but everybody can take a peek at it and take advantage of it right away. So that's right. The good thing about it. And I'm sure they're gradually going to be transferring everybody's account over to the new Facebook redesign and the tweaks.
One thing it does do, which is going to be a little controversial, is it downplays the applications a little bit. It brings the Facebook applications front and center and kind of takes the third-party apps and puts them away in the corner.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I just find some of the applications on Facebook are just, they're just too annoying. I'm not using them as much anymore. So for me, that's almost a benefit to the site itself. I find the applications overall, it's too cluttered. There's too many of them. And there's only like three or four that I actually use regularly.
Right, right. I like this that you can add tabs and you can add, I added a video tab and then all my videos show up, and then beneath it, videos of me that others have posted, which is kind of cool.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. Again, it's very much like FriendFeed or some of these other sites we've talked about that really pull in all the information in terms of what other people are saying about you online. And so I think they've really taken advantage of the new technology that's come out since they launched their site and kind of incorporated into what's there now.
So I'm going to record something now.
I did the exact same
thing.
Hey,
everybody on Facebook. Amber and I are doing Net at Night, and we just thought we'd try out the new Facebook record feature. This is pretty cool. That's cool. I like
that.
Yeah,
it's fun. I can't believe you did. I did the exact same thing. That's the first thing I did to actually see if it would work or not.
Amber, you and I are just peas in a pod. You know that.
I know.
I think it's why we work well together. We have the same instincts, you know?
Yeah, just to start clicking on things. But I cannot click on things while we're doing the show anymore. I realize I get totally distracted.
What's this pretty thing?
Although it's good if you do, exactly, if you can do multiple things, but I have to try to focus. That's why the camera is good, you know, because we're doing the show live and you can watch it at twit.live.tv. It forces me to actually focus on something. Right. I can't be sort of clicking around too much.
Look at that. That video went right up right away. That's pretty cool. And it's right on the,
yeah.
It's on the wall. So that's kind of neat.
We're going to be jumping back into Facebook now.
I might actually use this a little bit more. By the way, did you see that TechCrunch is going to build a computer? TechCrunch IT, they've put out this word that, we got tired of waiting for somebody to put out the perfect tablet PC, so let's make it. It's an open source hardware project.
I just saw that when I was scanning down the headlines on TechCrunch.
Yeah.
And they have a nice little mock-up of what they imagine the tablet would look like. Very thin, very sleek. So it's very cool to see them get involved in that.
It's so funny because I guess I could say this now, but I won't say the name, but a good friend of ours had exactly the same plan. He's been talking about this for 6 months. He said, we're just going to do it. We're going to not wait for Apple to do it. We're just going to do it. And I guess maybe these guys got wind of it, or maybe they're working together, or maybe the great minds think alike, but they're doing virtually the same thing. But, you know, I hear all the Mac rumor sites now are saying that Apple will ship this product end of September. Apple's already saying we're going to ship a bunch of new and different products end of September. There are very strong rumors that it's going to be a tablet, kind of like an iPhone, but larger with
very cool.
Yeah, so it might be might be premature to start making one of your own if Apple comes along and says we could do it.
Yeah.
We can do it. We'll do this. Get out of our way, kid.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
And they might just do it a little better. I don't know. Just a hunch.
I don't know if they'll do it better, but they'll certainly get it into the stores better. That's for sure.
Yeah, it will look better packaging, Leo.
Yep.
I just bought the a MacBook Air, and I
you
I
did
about all this. Yes, I did. I bought it for a couple of reasons. Well, keep in mind that right now I probably have 4 or 5 computers. So I've gotten to the point where it's like I have a certain computer for a certain use. And for me, the MacBook Air, because I'm doing so much traveling, I've found that my old MacBook, it's perfect.
It's perfect for that.
I just need it to run Keynote and have presentations on it, surf the web, answer email. That's pretty much it. And it's just so nice and light. So it's going to be my on-the-go laptop.
So funny. I've come this close about 5 times to pulling the trigger on a MacBook Air. And it was only this story when it came across that made me think, okay. Because I've been kind of waiting. I've been thinking, they're going to update this thing. So I've been kind of waiting. Now I'm going to wait. I'm going to force myself to wait till September. And see what comes up here with this new touchpad. But I tell you, I am more and more sold in the air. I wasn't sold on it initially, but I got Abby one for going to France, and I've been playing with it. And it's so light.
It's so light. And I noticed I was in New York last week just for a couple of days, and I was lugging around my MacBook, and this is not a huge deal, but it just is that much heavier and that much bulkier. And since I got the MacBook Air, it's just so nice and light and compact. And I just feel as though it's a much better sort of portable device than any of the other computers I've ever had.
I hate to say it, but I think Apple has the right idea on that one.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. although I have to admit, Leo's like, maybe I should buy
I
one.
Really want one. I want one. I'm so jealous. I want one so badly.
Although I keep forgetting, because we were just about to do the show and I was waiting, and then I was ready to log in, and then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't even have Skype on this computer or any other.
So you're using it right now?
Yeah, I'm using it right now.
Wow, it's doing a good job.
Yeah, I'm loving it. So we talked about the iPhone at the beginning of the show, and a few people had sent me this link, so I thought I would bring it up on Net at Night. WordPress has launched a mobile blogging app for the iPhone. Now, I'm not a WordPress user. I know a decent amount about it, but it seems that the application is pretty good, because I probably got 4 or 5 different emails from people.
I installed it this morning right before my iPhone crashed.
So you haven't had a chance to use it.
I did. I played with it a little bit, and it's great. I mean, it allows you to post. It allows you to edit existing posts. It's exactly what you'd expect. You know, TypePad was the first out of the box, though. And I think both of these are good. You know, the problem I have is that the iPhone's keyboard isn't ideal for anything too long. But if you want to do quick posts, you know, a lot of what people do on blogs is link to websites and so forth. And you can build that, you know, it's Safari's doing, you know, is there. I mean, I don't know if they have any integration with Safari as to a bookmark. That's something they could easily do, because Twitterific does. So it's possible to add a bookmark to Safari that would then put it into that WordPress app. So I think this is a pretty nice app, and I think every platform should have a way to blog from the platform.
Oh, definitely. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I found just scanning some of the blogs that I read regularly, there's been so many more headlines about WordPress and about plugins. It just seems as though...
That's because you went to Multiplicity. As soon as you... Or what is the name of the blog platform you're using?
Oh, Typo.
Typo, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because you're using Typo. Now you're noticing all these WordPress people.
I really am. And it's funny, and we run CommandN.tv. We still use Typepad, and we just got Puma as an advertiser on the show, and just going to try to add banners to the site. Like, it has such limitations unless you go into an advanced template and get into the code, which is not a huge deal, but you realize with Typepad, like, it's just, you know, we're kind of pushing the limits of what it's able to do. I mean, it's still a great platform for a good portion of people, but I'm tempted to push us all over to WordPress.
I think you should. I don't think it's that Typepad is not up to date. In fact, I think in many ways it is, but I think it's more rigid. And I think WordPress is a little more flexible and has a larger variety of plugins and choices. Typepad is great if you just, you know, if the widgets that are there are what you want and it does what you need it to do, it's about as easy as a platform as you can get. And it's a really great, simple, straightforward blogging platform, and if you want to focus on doing the blog, I think it's great. But I'm glad we went with WordPress. I think it was the right choice. WordPress has really been a great choice for Leo.
Yeah, it seems that way. You know, one thing I will say though about Typepad is that recently I've opened up new tickets to get technical help on Typepad. And for anyone out there who is a Typepad user and you can't find certain things like how to add a column on the right hand side, which ends up being a type list, which is a little bit confusing. Literally, if you go in and create a ticket and ask the technical people at Typepad, they will get back to you in 24 hours. And I've found even less. They are fantastic. So the customer support on their end is just absolutely super. And it's not as though they write you back and, you know, just give you a one-line answer. They'll go in and they'll take, you know, paste in snippets of code that you need to use. And they're really, really helpful. So that's the type of thing I think that keeps people around
on
certain types of platforms.
You know, and I've been over to Six Apart. Of course, we know Ben and Mina, and I love their products. And I met the community person for Vox. I mean, Six Apart really pays attention to that. I think they know how important that is, a happy community and customer base. So I'm not surprised at all to hear that. They really support that.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
Now, Leo,
can I show you one more before you get to
Yeah.
I'll show you one more iPhone app that I thought you might be a little bit. There's, I kind of enjoy showing people iPhone apps. There's so many fun ones. But this one is a web iPhone app that shows off what you can do with the location-based features. This is Google for the iPhone. So it looks just like a Google interface. You know, you launch it, but notice right there it's saying Google wants to know where you are. Okay. And every Mac application that wants your location will pop up this little pop-up here and before it asks you, which I don't find annoying. Some people have complained about it. I think it's good. I think it shouldn't know where I am. It shouldn't know where I am unless I explicitly say, tell me, you know, let me say where you are. But now if I do start doing some searches in here, let me do pizza. Whoops. I'm bad typing upside down. But what's different about this is it knows where I am and it's going to show me pizza places that are nearby. So it's showing me local pizza places. It's giving me a location based search. It even puts buttons at the bottom of the page that are specific to the location. So this is an interesting kind of Google search. It'll still give you other Google search results, but the first results are local to whatever you're typing. It doesn't just have to be a business either. You could say, you know, just type in Petaluma and museums and you'd get information. You might get Wikipedia entries. So this is a kind of a switch for Google, but I think it's important because it gives you some idea of what Android will have, which again is location based. That's what's big for Google, is the idea that the phone knows where you are and will give you information that's tuned to your location. I'm actually really liking that. I think that's one of the neat features of the iPhone. It's really, these location-based apps are like the Twinkle that will show you tweets from people who are nearby. That's really cool, I think.
That's very cool. Yeah. Or even just, I mean, I'm thinking tonight, for example, I'm trying to figure out where to go out to eat in Montreal.
Perfect.
And just being able to have, like, you know, Zagat or something like that.
Yeah, do you use Yelp?
I think there's a Zagat app. I have used it before. I don't use it regularly.
Yeah, Yelp is kind of like Zagat. There's a Yelp application. Actually, I use another application that's a free application, not Yelp, but gives you the Yelp information. So, you push a button. You say, I want restaurants within the, you know, you could say what radius, 1 mile, half a mile, 2 blocks. And then it'll give you all the Yelp reviews and it'll give you how many stars. So you know immediately what the good restaurants are around here. I'd love to see. Zagat hasn't done a app. I'm sure they're working on it because this is a natural for the Zagat guide.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Or otherwise, this is what ends up happening. This is my personality, is that I went to an Ethiopian restaurant in Montreal, I would probably say like 12 years ago when I was a teenager, and or maybe longer ago. And I, right now, I'm thinking, how do I find
I'm looking
restaurant?
For that Ethiopian
restaurant.
It was
like this tiny little hole in the wall.
Isn't that funny?
This is the story of my life. Yeah, I always end up trying to find these obscure places. But now and again, it works. So that's okay. Like in New York last week, I ended up going to this restaurant called Il Pana. Two, which is a little Indian restaurant, and it's a total hole in the wall, but it's my favorite place to go to New York. It's excellent.
You love Indian food.
Very yummy.
You're an Indian food
fan. I do. We've had some good Indian food together, Leo.
Yeah, Toronto is great for Indian food. I kind of miss that, actually.
Vegas, maybe not.
Nah, there's other good food in Vegas, but I don't think Indian. Maybe. You never know. You know, I'll have to put it into my my Yelp and see. So let me just...
See what happens.
I've got the, I've been installing, as we've been talking, I've been installing the WordPress application. So let me, of course, what else would I do but mess around with my iPhone as long as we're talking. So I'm logging into my WordPress blog at Life of Leo. And so it's going to show me all the current posts. I can add to the posts or edit those posts. Let me pull up the Life of Leo. So these are the current posts in here. And so I can open one up and edit it. There it is. You can, it's fun. You can take a picture and embed it in there. You can add your location to it. It's pretty cool. It's a really neat way to do it. And it gives you the pretty much the full capability. Let's see if it goes sideways. No, it doesn't. It's one thing that's really bugged me about.
That's what everyone does with the iPhone.
Yeah, I want it to go sideways. This keyboard would be so much better if I could just make it a little bit bigger. That's my big problem. And it's these applications are great, but you got to use the iPhone keyboard, which is very frustrating.
Not like the keyboard at all, I have to say.
No,
not a big fan.
No.
Okay, Leo. So you sent me the link to this next little application or plugin, Hyperwords for Firefox.
This is like one of those kitchen sink extensions for Firefox that I've mixed opinions on it. I installed it on one of my machines and I've been having fun with it. Did you play with it at all?
I haven't installed it yet, but I probably will because I'm I love Firefox extensions.
This one is kind of a does everything extension. So I'm going to just add it to my Firefox real quickly here. As with all Firefox or almost all Firefox extensions, it's free. So it's a nice, easy no-brainer as far as adding it goes. What it does is it changes your, for one thing, it changes your search toolbar. Now you could turn all of these features off, but it now gives you a whole bunch of new menu items. When you select text, it'll automatically copy it, but it'll also pop up a menu. You can do things like translate that text, blog that text. It's, it's not installing, of course, as usual. But I'll go back to the front page because you can see on the front page, you can kind of get a better idea. It allows you to look up words. You can even shop. It's one of those, it's hard to describe. It's kind of like the ultimate right-click menu.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. I mean, I think there are those many of those extensions that you use for a little while and you don't use anymore, but they're fun, you know, while it lasts. But
this might be one of those. Sure. It's hard for me. I'm exactly of the same opinion. It's I'm not yet convinced that this is a earth-shattering. I have it on one of my machines and I use it a lot and I think I might get hooked on it. It really does change the way the browser works. Ah, there we go. We finally got the install message on.
Well,
here.
the only Firefox plugin that I use all the time, I think it's called Googlepedia. So that
That's
when
good.
You do any
yeah.
Google search, Wikipedia comes up on the right hand side, and it's almost exactly what you're looking for. I have used that now for as long as that has been out, and I absolutely love it.
Well, you might like Hyperwords then, because you can right click on any word and pull up the Googlepedia entry on that word. In fact, even get a little thumbnail. I mean, sorry, the Wikipedia entry on that word, or Wiktionary, or Google definition, or dictionary. So it's a very quick way to kind of get information about stuff that's on your page. You know, you're exactly right. I installed Feedly. I installed, what was it? I can't even remember, like a social networking. There's a whole bunch of massive extensions that I've installed that I've eventually taken off because they change the way the browser works too much. I kind of tend to like the lightweight stuff in the long run. But this one's worth looking
at. Yeah, that's how I am exactly. It's pretty well. Now, for our web app of the week, this is something that just came across on my email probably about 3 hours ago. It's an application called superlame.com. I don't know if you've had a chance to check it out, but it's not that lame. What I like about it the most, it's a web application that is very simple. It just allows you to add little text bubbles or balloons around your photos.
Oh, that's
funny. Of course, there's the services out there that do that right now. But what I really like about Superlame is, and I know you're clicking on the link right now. I can practically
sure
hear you.
I sure am.
I'm big on interface, so ease of use, and it has such a beautiful Web 2.0 look. And what's nice about it is, as you can see, when you go to actually upload a photo and add a little text balloon, it's super, super, super easy to do. You can do it right there on the site, save it on the site, and send it off.
Oh, good. Now I have to upload a photo here. This is cool.
You know, I can.
You're right.
I can't hear you clicking, but
you know,
feel it. I can feel
you
it.
You know I'm
it's
doing
the silence.
This. You know I'm doing this. Well, you're right, though, about the user interface. It's very cute because it's kind of the balloons go bloop, bloop, bloop. So I can add a balloon.
I know.
Let's see. Type here. I'm a Mac. Okay. And then I can do different things with this balloon, I guess. Oh, I can.
Yeah, you can change the text, make it bigger,
cool.
Change the shape of the balloon as well. And just a fun little site. Like I even imagine, you know, obviously it's good for anyone of any age, but even for kids, it's a fun place for them to be able to go and just easily add little funny text balloons. After hanging out with my preteen cousins for a long time, I realized that they like things like this.
This is really cool. Now, you know, it's funny. I downloaded it as I'm sorry to keep bringing us back to the iPhone. There's an app, Plask, the folks who do Comic Life, make a great iPhone app that does the same thing with your pictures on the iPhone. You can capture them and do all sorts of fun things with them. It's really neat.
They're great. I interviewed them at Macworld a while ago. They do some great stuff.
Yeah, they're really well. So this is cool. And you're right. I love the user interface. I mean, you could just do so many things with this. Yeah.
It's really beautiful. They did a really nice job of developing it, and it's completely free. I think he's just taking donations right now.
Wow. It's kind of hard to believe that a web application could be this smooth and easy to use.
I know. I knew you'd like it, Leo.
Yeah.
See? I should be buying you presents or something.
Yeah, because you know what I like, baby.
You'd love all them.
I love any toy that's got fun, shiny, swoopy-doopy parts.
That's what it feels like. It feels like this. It's like these chunky buttons that you can almost like just reach out and grab.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's lots of fun. And for our video of the week, this is great for any designers out there, anyone who likes to play around with fonts. It was on collegehumor.com, and hopefully you can queue up the video, and it's called If Fonts Were People.
I'm ready. Oh, I like the idea already.
Welcome back, fonts. I see some familiar typefaces.
It's Times New Roman.
And a few new ones. Today we'll decide whether or not to offer membership to Zaf Dingbats.
Oh, Wang Dings was bad enough. I'm sick of pandering to these artsy farts.
You should really expand.
That's Ariel Narrow.
How do you think he treats me all the time?
I agree. We must preserve our culture, not have it be bastardized by these childish cartoons.
Nein! The friendly friendship, das Häschen und der Regenbogen!
You're right. I'm sorry. Here, take my seat.
Let's weigh the pros and cons. Baskerville, old face?
When I was just a 4-point, a font was a font. Letters were good enough for us, not these damn doodlies. I won't stand for it.
You won't stand for it.
No,
you can't stand for it, you shriveled bastard. You'd probably break a leg.
Oh, hey.
Enough. What do you think, White Latin?
White Latin's eating a burrito.
Our charge is to illustrate ideas, reason, and logic. Here.
Hi, come to you from the year 2094 with important news.
We must act quickly to avoid disaster.
Not now, Futura. We have to reach a decision.
Fonts! Ransom! What are you doing here?
Come on, get with the times, New Roman. I know your system like the back of a lucid hand. Just ask your friend, Courier.
What have you done?
They've got Courier tied up.
His daughter's keeping him company. Say hi to the nice men, Curls MT.
Curls MT.
I want primary placement in every word.
This is, we are so geeky, Amber. You realize this is font humor.
I know, but it's awesome. I love it. And there's not many people I can share that with.
You're right. Font humor. This is the ultimate in geek humor.
Like, Leo, I think if certain people walked in right now and saw us laughing to all the font humor, it would be a bad situation.
Yeah, I think we definitely will leave the rest of this for the font aware and the font interested.
So that's lots of fun. That's on collegehumor.com if anyone wants to watch if fonts were people.
That shows you, if this is on College Humor, that shows you this is kind of mainstream then, and people must know about fonts.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, everybody these days is at least using some type of word processing program. So they're experimenting with fonts. I even know people who love Arial and hate Times Roman, Times New Roman, for example. So I think there's a certain amount of people who would appreciate it. We're not that weird, Leo.
That people who are real font experts, though, I'm sure. I don't know. But I would imagine just hate the fact that they're highly specialized, very arcane, and yet, very aesthetic field is being co-opted by a bunch of people like us who don't know anything about fonts and have the temerity to talk about Helvetica as if we know. There's a movie about Helvetica. It actually was showing in Vancouver the other day. I think your friend Chris Krug went to see it. Yeah. There's an actual movie about Helvetica.
Interesting.
I don't know. Yet. A documentary on it. Maybe there are more font geeks than I thought.
Either are.
If you go to HelveticaFilm.com, it's a documentary film about, typography, graphic design, global visual culture, and Helvetica.
Wow.
Wow is right.
It's always good. For our design pick of the week, this is a little bit design oriented, but it's also good for anyone out there who likes to do shopping online. It's a site called minted.com. Have you ever heard of this, Leo?
That sounds familiar. What is it?
Well, it's not Mint, which we obviously reviewed a long time ago. Minted.com is a place where designers can go and they can showcase their designs, and the best designs get voted up and they actually get printed, and they're designs for stationery, like cards, for example. So isn't that neat? So instead of using a company like Hallmark, you can actually go and get real, like, individual, unique creations from Minted.com. And it's sort of like Threadless, if you remember the t-shirts that, people designed t-shirts and the best ones were actually printed and the winner got $1,000. The concept is very, very similar.
This looks like one of those, what do they call those presses? They're so great. I just love, now here's an interesting thing. I think maybe geeks are getting back into the idea of this kind of printing, physical printing. That's the next step, isn't it?
It's interesting. It probably is. The electronic way of life is great, but people actually want to start printing stuff again.
Yeah, with old-fashioned presses, letter set presses and things like that. Wow, this is cool. Minted.
Yeah.
The freshest designs on paper. Wow, they have calligraphy, too. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I think it's almost like, it reminds me a little bit, it doesn't work the same way, but remember we talked about Etsy a long time ago, and we had the founders of Etsy on. That's a place where you can get unique gifts, and they're all handicrafts. So I love the idea, there's so much stuff out there in the world that you can buy from big box stores like Walmart, and I think it's so much more interesting, if you can, to go to something that is really, hopefully, directly supporting an artist and giving them exposure, and it's just kind of a feel-good purchase.
Who would have thought you could make a living as a calligrapher these days? But apparently you can on minted.com.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lots of fun. And then my last link of the week, and we can't forget to do Audible either, Leo. Have to remind
you. Well, before you do your last link of the week, Amber MacArthur, maybe we should mention the good folks. Actually, let me check here real quickly. At Visa.
Oh.
Visa. We'll do Audible in a bit. The show is brought to you by Visa. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yes, congratulations. We all have better things to think about when we shop online, whether it's for cheese or printed documents or crafts. You want to use your Visa card when you buy it. You know that. You don't want to worry about online fraud. All the purchases you make with Visa are safe and secure, and Visa has so many ways to prevent, protect, detect, and resolve online fraud. They've got that real-time fraud monitoring software that's constantly looking for unusual patterns, and when they find it, boom, they hone right in on it, and it protects you. You know, I don't know if you've ever received a call from Visa. I have, where they say, you know, were you just in Argentina buying shoes? And I say, no. And the beauty of it is they say, nope, no problem. You're not liable for any unauthorized purchases. We'll take care of it from here. You've had that happen.
Yes, I have, definitely.
It's also great. I mean, I don't even mind when I say, no, I was in Argentina. I always say, thank you. Thank you for checking. It just makes me feel so good to know that, because I'm not, be honest with you, real good about checking my bill every time I get it. But
you know, some people get so angry when that happens, and I think exactly the same thing as you think. I just feel like, you know, someone's watching my back, and it's a good feeling.
That's Visa for you. That's peace of mind. Safe, secure, Visa. We thank them so much for supporting Net at Night. I surprised you. You thought I was going to do an audible spot there. Aha.
You know, Leo, I'm always on my toes on Net at Night.
I
had an audible pick and everything.
Well,
so,
I am doing an audible spot, so don't waste that. Hang on. Hang in there with your audible pick. But first, let's talk about cheese.
Yeah, so I thought I'd add a podcast of the week link in, mostly because someone sent me a link to a podcast they're doing.
I think we should do this every week. We don't talk about other people's podcasts.
I know.
And we ought to.
And we should. Yeah. I know, we really should. And I think it would be cool to every week have a podcast pick, because I think there's so many people out there who are inspired by TWiD and other podcasts, and they really have started their podcast. They need exposure. They only have a couple hundred listeners, if that. And so if every week we actually highlighted someone, I think it would be a good support of the community. Now, I chose this one because I just think it's amazing and really speaks to how podcasts are very niche. All you need is cheese.ca. It's a podcast, a monthly podcast all about cheese. But it's very well produced. They do a really good job.
It's a beautiful site.
It's a beautiful site.
Yeah.
And everyone loves cheese, Leo. Let's not lie.
I love cheese. And I would listen to a cheese podcast if it were really intelligent. Like if it were really I know cheese. I am the expert on cheese.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's it's one of those things that I've always felt I love learning about anything, whether it's cheese or electronics, whatever it might be, as long as I am learning from someone who knows a lot about that topic, and I can get so immersed in the obscure references within that specific area, like cheese, for example.
You hit the nail on the head. It's really about the enthusiasm and the passion that the person has for the subject. That's why Gary V's Winecast is so good, because he loves his stuff and he cares about it, and it comes right through, and that's what makes a great podcast. Oh, I can't wait to listen to this. All you need is cheese.
I know. I think I am hearing a Beatles song right now.
All you need is cheese. It's great. It's a great name for a podcast. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's fun. It's lots of fun.
Now, I think we probably should do our Audible Pick of the Week, the show brought to you by the folks at audible.com, audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. If you want to get a free book, all you have to do is go there and sign up for Audible, and you get a book of your choice, and there are 50,000 wonderful titles. You've been reading some Audible books, I see.
I haven't actually bought a book by this author, but I'm interested in buying one because I heard him on CBC Radio a while ago.
So his great.
Name is Michael Pollan, and obviously you know him. He's a great author, and I just picked up his book, In Defense of Food, and went on Audible. And in fact, there are a couple of books from him, as well as, and I didn't realize Audible did this. There's some interviews hour-long interviews that you can buy, which is super cool, where he talks about some of his books. And literally, Michael Pollan is, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He is such an amazing person to listen to, and a lot of his books are about food and diet and what you should eat, but it's not boring, preachy stuff. It's really excellent.
No, he's quite fascinating. I actually went to an event that he was speaking at, and I think he's just fascinating. The Omnivore's Dilemma, which is the natural history of four meals, is fascinating. He actually goes out and cooks these meals. His point is we should be eating locally, that we are currently, the way factory farming is set up, it's unsustainable, and it's allowed us to overgrow the population, but ultimately it's bad for the earth. It's bad for us. And so he's talking about getting back to our roots and eating locally grown foods, fresh foods. And it's better for your health, and it's better for the environment, and it's better for the world. So I think he's fascinating. He's written some really good books, and I don't think they have In Defense of Food, unfortunately, but they do have.
No, they don't have that one, but they have The Omnivore's Dilemma, and I think they have a couple of other interviews, like I mentioned.
Yeah. No, he's great. I agree with you, Michael Pollan. That's your pick for the week. So all you got to do, The Botany of Desire is another fascinating one. That's one of his earlier books. And he's got a new one that just came out. I bet you that I'll have it soon on audible.com. Go to audible.com/night. Get this book or any of 50,000 wonderful titles free. If you haven't listened to a book, you're in for a rare treat. There's something about listening to it. It's funny. I don't want to read anymore. I want to listen. It's just remarkable. I just read a fantastic book. In fact, I'll give you a little mini review of it in a second. But I had to read it because it's not on Audible yet. And I missed that. I missed that sense of listening, because listening is like you're there. You're part of it. You're in the you're in the book. And I love that. Audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of Net at Night. You know Neal Stephenson, of course.
Yes.
His newest book, Anathem, will come out in September. But I have a friend somewhere. I don't know. I think his publicist at the publisher must like Twitter or something, because they sent me a reader's copy, an advanced copy, about a month ago of Anathem, which is his newest book. It is so good, Amber. Oh, you're going to love it.
Yes. You know what? I've heard about this, and someone even emailed me and said, hey, can you ask Leo if I can get a copy of that book as well?
Well, I'm sure they're going to make an audible book of it, because they've done Cryptonomicon now, and they're doing, I think, Quicksilver. A lot of his older books are on there. Snow Crash is on there. I'm sure they'll be doing this. It's 1,000 pages, and it was a long. It took me a month to read it. But man, is it engrossing. It's so wonderful. I can't wait till it comes out and everybody can learn about it. I don't want to tell you any spoilers, because it's unexpected. But imagine, if you will, a parallel universe to ours. Very similar to ours, but slightly different. In this case, in this particular universe, the people grew so afraid of the powers of science, especially the military powers, but in general, the powers of science, that they segregated all of the scientists, all of the great thinkers, all of the smart people into monasteries, but not religious monasteries, monasteries of the mind, separate from mainstream society. And that's how it begins. But it takes some wild turns before the end. And it's very, very exciting and a really well-written book. I think I'm a big Neal Stephenson fan. And what I love about Neal is everything he does is different. This one is unlike any Neal Stephenson book you've read. A little bit closer to his original science fiction roots, I think. He likes to call it speculative fiction, not science fiction. It's certainly speculative fiction. And Neal's one of the smartest people in the world. So one of the things he does that you will like, Amber, is during the novel, which is a great novel and really pulls you through it, and the plot's fantastic, but he also uses it as a way to bring up interesting philosophies that are real. And so you learn a lot at the same time as you're reading this, but without knowing it, about various ways of looking at the earth, the world, various cosmologies. That's just really good. I think you're going to love
That's awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait till it's out September 9th. And I just finished it last night. And I haven't really talked about this. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it's going to be a good read.
Is that why you're sleepy, Leo?
It is. I couldn't go to sleep. I had to finish it. 1,000 pages, Amber. It was huge.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, I like long books like that, because you get into them, and then suddenly you're in that world, right? You've invested so much in it. For instance, he invents practically a new language in this book. And at first, I was thinking, oh, no. Oh, please. I can't. But by page 100, you're understanding it. By the end of the book, I went through the glossary. I knew every word. I knew the language. And it's not exactly a language, but it's but they use a lot of. He's done it very cleverly. A lot of terms that are similar to Earth terms have similar roots, but are slightly different. So you kind of can figure out what's going on. But I like books to challenge you a little bit, and it challenges you for sure. You're going to like it. I know you're a voracious reader. What are you reading these days?
I'm just in the literally probably about three quarters of the way through In Defense of Food by Michael Pollan. So looking forward to getting to the end of that. And it's a great book so far.
Yeah,
and, you know, when I drove up to McDonald's today, let me just tell you, I was feeling the guilt.
You know, he goes to McDonald's in that book. He talks about it a little bit. You will see.
Yeah. It's not good.
It's quite fascinating.
Not good at all.
Quite fascinating. Well, we are, I think we are out of links, which means we're out of, and we're also out of time. So it's perfect. we're out of show. But we will we're out of show, but we will be back next week. You'll be back in Toronto.
Let's
not forget the week after. Maybe we just should put off Tuesday's show and do it live from Podcast Expo, from the New Media Expo. That'd be kind of fun.
That sounds like
we'll certainly
idea.
Have plenty of guests. Next week, Jib Jab joins us.
I can't wait.
You're driving. How come you drove to PEI?
I just had a lot of stuff to bring in the car. And to be honest with you, it was kind of a bit of a break. I've been flying so much recently that I just wanted to have a car while I was there and just take a couple of days and drive down. So, yeah, I've just been flying all over the place. And, you know, as much as I don't like flying, at this point, it was almost like I had too much stuff to take. I didn't want to, you know, have to leave at a certain time, just leave whenever I needed to get back to Toronto. So it was the freedom, Leo. The freedom.
You like the wind in your hair. You're on the road, man. You're on the road.
Exactly.
Well, how far is it from Montreal to Toronto? Is that a long drive?
Oh, no, not at all. Like less than 5 hours.
Oh, good. Well, have a nice, safe drive home. Stay away from the McDonald's. Have some poutine instead. It's no healthier, but at least it's indigenous food.
It's local.
It's
from
local.
The earth, I guess.
And we'll see you next time on Net at Night. Bye-bye, Amber.
Bye.